In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining the Word for Life today. And I'm Mark Widmer, and joining Pastor Ken Keltner. And we're so glad that you're with us here on this Wednesday. We are very thankful for all that God gives us. We're looking at a passage of Scripture, Pastor Ken, that talked about open doors and closed doors and in life, and we have many, many opportunities. Ladies, there's one that's coming up at our church in a week and a half on the 26th of April, that Friday evening. We're calling it Finding Calm in the Storms of Life. For $13, you get a very, very nice meal. Starts at 6 in the evening, goes till 8. But the feature of the program, besides some singing and different things that will be done, is going to be three different testimonies of ladies who are going to talk about some of the significant storms in life that they have encountered and how God has given them grace and ability and so forth around them and through them. And I think you find it to be a great blessing if you're able to attend. If you'd like to, call the church office at Brookside Baptist for more information or to register. If you call, the number is 262-783-6180. Again, 262-783-6180. And thank you for doing that. Pastor Ken, in this church of Philadelphia, we left off in looking at this description of the Lord and what he talks, and he's very clear and repetitive in these first verses, 7 and 8 of chapter 3 of Revelation, about doors that he opens and nobody's going to close them, or doors that he shuts and nobody's going to be able to open them. And so we've gotten to the place here where you raise a very interesting comment or question in the last section on the last broadcast about what Jesus honors. And tell us more about that.
Well, anytime you're going to take a step through the door of opportunity, as you already have referenced Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you have to trust. And what God honors is faith, that we believe him, we believe his word. And we see that at the end of verse 8. Why don't you pick it up there with us, verse 8, where he says, "For you have a little strength."
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting way to look at that. So it's because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name.
You know, I think for just those of us sitting in the pew or in the chair in church, this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say, you got to have it all together.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you have to have, if we go to that Greek word, dynamos, or the dynamic power.
Yeah.
But you have a little bit. And the little bit that you do have, he's saying to this church, you've dedicated it to me and you are using it to the maximum degree.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, friends, little strength and great opportunity go hand in hand. Sometimes small churches think there is very little they can do for God. But it's all a matter of really perspective. I mean, we're told here the church at Philadelphia had little power, little strength. So we can assume by that that they really didn't have much money or many influential people. They had great faith. I mean, I think it's a lesson for all of us today. You may not be as smart, I may not be as smart or as eloquent as someone else. You and I may not have the money or the influence that possibly our neighbors have. You and I may not be as educated or as well connected. But you and I trust the Lord, and by trusting the Lord, we're able to be used by the Lord. What is it that God honors? Faith. What is God looking for? Faith. Hebrews 11:6 mm-hmm. says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Notice the two wonderful acts here that Jesus wants to honor and acknowledge here about this church. First of all, he says, you have kept my word.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, these believers did not deny the gospel message. The tense of these verbs here is in what we would know of as the aorist tense, which is a term for, well, it's simple, it's past, but it's also present, meaning it's an action that has happened that can continue on here. So it leads us then to believe this church endured some trying moments in the past in which they were told, hey, you better deny Jesus Christ. You better mm-hmm. turn away from Jesus Christ right now. And yet they would not deny the name of Christ or the gospel of Christ. It reminds you of Cassie Bernal there with the Columbine, mm-hmm. you know, with Dylan or whatever his name was, with that gun looking under the desk saying, you deny Jesus right now, and wouldn't. And she became a martyr mm-hmm. for Christ because she wouldn't. In other words, these people, the believers in Philadelphia at this church, were not going to be muzzled. Reminds me of a dear friend that I know that, gave himself to this major corporation. He went to their major headquarters are in France. He took his family there to France. He learned French. He was in their corporate offices. They were having trouble with some of their manufacturing down in Mexico. So he took his family to Mexico. He learned Spanish, got the manufacturing up, and then their headquarters here in the States, in South Carolina, he became vice president of. And Pastor Mark, he simply was passionate about people knowing they could live with God, but knowing he had a job to do. So he might take someone out to lunch, and he would just give them a letter, and he'd say, I'd love for you to read this letter about my life and what God has done. Well, I guess somebody complained about that, and they went to HR, and then HR went, I think, to the president, and he got called into the president's office. And he said, what's this letter? And he goes, that's just the story of my life and how I know I'm going to live with God, and I love people, and I want other people to know they can live with God. And the president of the corporation said, no, you cannot do that any longer. I'm doing it on my own. No, I said you can never do it again. And he said, well, sir, I am not going to be muzzled with what I need to share about Jesus Christ. He says, then you are terminated immediately, called security. They ushered him to his office with a little box. He put in some personal items. They ushered him out to the parking lot. Now, what door of opportunity does he have? You know,
yeah.
As he's driving home, he's probably thinking, wow, uh-oh, how are we going to do this? But you know what? God took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
Door of opportunity opened up to start his own business. And today he's probably more successful than he ever was as a vice president of this large corporation. And he is not muzzled in any way. And I think so many times, you know, we have to be cautious when we're at work, but I love taking people to lunch on my own dime and being able to say to them, hey, let me share with you what happened in my life. One of the reasons that I believe this door of opportunity here in Philadelphia referred to greater and more effective service is because the metaphor would have been immediately recognized by the believers there in Philadelphia. In the same way, the believers in the church at Sardis knew what Christ was talking about when he told the church to wake up. Because if you were with us in that study, given the fact their own city had been overthrown because the guards were asleep. They thought, no one can climb the precipice to get up to us on top of the peak here and take our city, but they were asleep. And their city was overthrown not once, but twice. This church in Philadelphia was located, as we talked about in a few broadcasts earlier, that it was literally, the city was referred to as the city of the open door. Philadelphia was the doorway to the east. It had been built, so to speak, as a missionary city for the Greek language and culture to be broadcast throughout all the eastern provinces. And so they would have picked up on this as far as, you know, the don't be muzzled. You continue on because Jesus, the thing he was honoring them for is you've kept my word. The second thing that he honors them for is he says, you have not denied my name. In other words, you've not been embarrassed by the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I remember a sad time in my life. I was seventh grade. I didn't go to the public junior high school because my dad said, no, I'm starting a Christian school. And we had 16 students. But all my friends, all my buddies I went to elementary school with were there at the junior high. And we were at one of the stores or shopping mall areas. And one of my friends from elementary saw me go, hey, man, where have you been? Where are you going to school? And I remember, you know, it was Tulsa Christian Academy, but I think I mumbled, duh, duh, duh. You know, and my dad, you know, like, man, totally embarrassed. These people in Philadelphia at this church were not embarrassed by the name of Jesus. You know, some people, it can affect us all at times, feel slightly ashamed of their faith. They follow Jesus, but they kind of keep to themselves. They're kind of what, like I would call, Pastor Mark, undercover Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to cause a problem. They know how controversial talking about anything of the Bible or religion can be, and they don't want to stir up any trouble. And I just think how sad. Because when Paul and Silas, you've been talking about this, came in to Thessalonica in Acts 17, their opponents tried to have them arrested. And I love the New King James Version as it records the charge their enemies made against them. Get this, in Acts 17:6. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.
Mm-hmm.
How is that for an insult?
Yeah.
They have come and they've turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
I wonder, friends, would anyone say anything like that about you or about me? They meant it as an accusation, but it was really a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus wants you and I to recognize there are some open doors, meaning you and I are so positioned in a very strategic place where God's placed us that God considers it to be an open door for ministry. That phrase there, I think it's in verse 8 where he says, see, I have set before you an open door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a direct challenge to me and to the church today, like none other. The question is, will we walk through the open door and seek to not only win those in our work, our family, our neighborhoods, but actually to spend some time and help them grow in Christ and encourage them and really show them how to live for Christ? Well, Christ was honored by their stand.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they're going to have some problems come down their way. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. would often say, the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. In other words, there are no easy places. And that's where we'll pick up, because they were not in an easy place. And I hope you'll be able to join us for the next broadcast as we see how Christ is going to comfort this church and how he'll protect them.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.